In his State of the State address last night, Governor Walker outlined his priorities for Wisconsin this year, and he said he is working on a plan to lower income taxes on the middle class that he will propose in his state budget next month.
Unlike the message coming out of Washington, I believe that putting more money in the hands of the people instead of the government is good for the economy. Helping the people of Wisconsin create more jobs is my number one priority.
So, what do you make of that? Good morning. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, January 16th. We'll review the policy priorities of Governor Walker, and we'll wonder if you agree with them or not, and why. And welcome your questions and reactions for our guest political scientist this hour at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Curdine Show Facebook page. We will also hear from a Republican and a Democratic state lawmaker in our next half hour. We will talk with two political commentators in our big question segment in our next hour. And we'll have a roundup of many different guests, including economic and education policy analysts from our next hour after 8 o'clock. Throughout the morning, we want to hear from you, too. What are your thoughts on the state of Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first guest is Charlie Jacobs, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. So what did you think? What was your reaction?
Well, I think the governor tried very hard to reflect the bipartisanship that he and his administration have been suggesting we would be hearing from him. I think his theme was interesting and very Wisconsin-centric, the whole idea of moving forward, that we're not standing still, that we've made gains, but we have places to go. And the way he tied that into the state flag and the miners, I think he really use those kinds of thematic elements to draw together the hopes that all Wisconsinites have and the ability of the public to trust him to achieve the goals that he's laid out for himself. And I think his first proposal out of the gate, which was the middle class tax cut, is one that's a consensus issue. I think it's hard for Democrats not to at least recognize that that can be an important component to moving the state forward and can help citizens. So I think you really saw him make an effort, at least early in the speech, to reach out to all members of the public and to both sides of the aisle in the legislature.
The Democrats have said that a lower taxes on the middle class sounds good, but how will it be paid for? Won't there be some not-so-bipartisan debates over what gets cut to pay for it?
I'm certainly waiting for the eruption from the Democrats and even some Republicans, I would suggest, when we really see the details, because that's where the devil is, obviously, in this kind of debate. But these kinds of speeches aren't for laying out the details. They're broad, they're thematic, they're bold, and they're trying to suggest a vision more than anything else. So I think everybody's sort of waiting to see what the budget address is going to be like and what the budget looks like and its specifics. And that's, I think, when you're really going to start to see some angry voices raised because of how the particular pieces are going to be moved around on the game board. And for Democrats, you could hear last night in Senator Larson's address that followed the governor's that he's already projecting that the tax cuts are going to be levied for the most wealthy in the state. At least that's what he and I suppose the caucus believes is going to happen. So there's already a prediction, I think, from that side that it's not going to be a broad-based tax measure, but it's going to be one that's directed at a certain class of individuals.
Well, let's take a listen to State Senator Chris Larson and part of his response, the Democratic response.
The policies he proposed were not bipartisan. Funding an unproven, unaccountable gamble with our children's future is not bipartisan. Forcing through an extreme mining bill that will take at least 7 years to create jobs is not bipartisan. And giving tax breaks to those making over $200,000 a year at the expense of our schools is not bipartisan.
So, yep, you're right. He said that he thought that the tax cut was going to wealthier Wisconsin residents. He also made reference to expanding school choice.
It's been a priority of his. It was something that he wanted to do, took a baby step last year to try to move this forward, expanding it in the Milwaukee area and expanding it to other cities in the state. And, of course, coming at the heels of some of the efforts against teachers' unions and the collective bargaining agreement, I think the Democrats were a little bit taken aback, because the argument always is that those kinds of programs are going to funnel money out of traditional, typical public schools and put it in the hands of those who want to make a choice, and it's not necessarily benefiting those who need it most, those who are in struggling school districts, those who really need to avail themselves of some sort of new choice for their children, but that it can, that it's going to be spread broadly across the classes, the socioeconomic classes, and the money's not well directed. So I think if the governor comes up with a proposal that tries, as he suggested last night, to help parents with children in failing schools, I think that the Democrats can get on board, at least in part, depending on exactly how the policy unravels. But I still think this is going to be a sticking point, and to sort of echo Larson, it's going to be perceived by Democrats and some among the public that it's not particularly bipartisan.
The other concern of Senator Larson was the mining bill. That is going to be the top priority of the legislature. And do you expect a debate over that?
I do expect a debate, but as some commentators have been noting, the Senate in particular has what they've been calling a particular type of majority, which would be a Dale Schultz-proof majority, one where they don't need Senator Schultz to be on their side in order to win on those kinds of debates, and he tended to be a little bit more moderate, especially on environmental issues. And so I think the Republicans can draft what they want to draft and pass what they want to pass, certainly recognizing that there was even some pushback from elements of the public that you wouldn't consider necessarily radical environmentalists or the like. So I suspect that you're going to see a mining bill on the fast track, because it gives the governor something that he can check off the list and promote as an achievement, one that is going to produce jobs. And, of course, with that 250,000 new job marker hanging over his head like some political sort of Damocles, he's going to have trouble escaping that if he doesn't start to really produce some jobs, or at least policies that will very likely create jobs in the state.
Now, he doubled down on that campaign promise of 250,000 jobs. He didn't back away from it, did he?
I suppose he sort of painted himself into a corner. It's going to be something. When he first proposed that in the campaign in 2010, I think most people were a little bit surprised, because that's the kind of metric that's really easy to follow and to track. And in an age of PolitiFact and all of these fact-checking institutions, it's not one you can fudge much. And so you can either try to hide, which isn't going to be particularly effective, or you can just take it straight on. And I think that it's a very effective strategy for him, because he can at least make the argument, and I think it ties with his theme last night, we're moving forward. And even if he doesn't hit it, if you see at least some sort of progression towards that goal, he can say, look, give me another term in office, because we're on the right track. If we pivot in a different direction, the line is going to start going down again instead of up. So I think it's a very savvy strategy on his part, because he's not trying to run away from it, and he can point to his successes that are working to improve that number along the way.
Mm-hmm. So you think he's, you know, looking toward 2014, give me another term in office in 2014. Do you think he's looking toward national office? There's some speculation that he's looking at a possible national run, or a run for the president.
It wouldn't surprise me if he were doing that. I'm not sure what his timeline would be. And I think that to a certain extent, he may, if he had a date in mind, he might be pushing it off in the future. And the reason I'm speculating about that is because certainly Paul Ryan wound up being attached to a losing national ticket. And I'm not necessarily equating the governor with Paul Ryan, but there is a certain branding here. And so the vice president was from the state of Wisconsin. And will there be some sort of connection made between the two? And how close are their policies aligned? Because if they rejected a Romney-Ryan ticket, if you put yourself out there as a name from Wisconsin and people associate you with Ryan and what you could call failed policies because the public didn't embrace them, would he be successful? So maybe he wants that to sort of be a distant memory for the public before he throws his hat in the ring at the national level. But I suspect that he probably has some aspirations. He certainly is admired by many factions within the Republican Party nationwide. He's invited to speak. He's invited to come and visit organizations and give his advice. So I think he believes that he is part of the core ideological perspective of mainstream Republicanism today and that he has a chance to win a major office.
Our guest is Charlie Jacobs, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. He's reviewing with us Governor Scott Walker's State of the State address delivered last night before the state legislature and before a statewide audience on Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. Did you catch it? What did you think of it? Anything in particular stand out to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be a mostly cloudy day today in Wisconsin. There is a chance of snow. We can expect a high temperature around 30. Decreasing clouds tonight with lows in the single digits and teens, and tomorrow, partly cloudy, highs in the teens and low 20s. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are reviewing Governor Scott Walker's State of the State address last night and the reaction from Democrats and other lawmakers. We are talking with a political scientist. During this hour, we'll hear from a couple of state lawmakers coming up after 6:30. In our big question debate after 7 o'clock, we'll wonder if the state is headed in the right direction when we talk with a former Republican state senator and the former Democratic attorney general of the state of Wisconsin. And then we have a wide variety of guests joining us after 8 o'clock this morning, a roundup of guests from political scientists to policy analysts to other partisans. And we will welcome your reaction throughout the morning. What do you think of the priorities that were outlined last night in Governor Walker's State of the State address? What are your hopes and fears for the state in terms of policy coming up this year? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Charlie Jacobs is with us during this hour, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. And Professor Jacobs, Governor Walker did say, you know, here are my broad priorities, including jobs and other reforms. And he said, I don't want any distractions. What did you take from that?
I think that it might have been a signal to the Republicans in both chambers that they have a distinct job to do, and one that is both practical and pragmatic for the state, but also practical for a reelection campaign for the governor, which is to meet some of the central goals that he proposed when he ran originally and that are necessary to improve the state's economic climate. And I think, in essence, it was a wink-wink, nod-nod, we don't need to distract ourselves with issues that we could win on but are going to create the same kind of problem, distraction, protests that the collective bargaining agreement wound up creating. And the one that pops to mind is what Governor Rick Snyder faced in Michigan just in December when they passed the right to work law, which I think is something that Republicans around the nation are hoping to pass. We have more and more states passing right to work laws. And again, it's low hanging fruit for the Republicans. They could just go and grab that one without too much dissent and without much problem passing it into law. But I think the governor understands that that could create some real problems for him that are just going to bring up again everything that happened that led up to the recall. So I think what he's trying to signal to all the legislators in his party is, let's just work on the important substantive issues that are right in front of us. If we achieve those and things are working well, maybe we can pull those things out of the closet and try to get those passed too.
Yeah, and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss did say recently, I think within the last week, that right to work is not going to come up in the Assembly. So maybe that puts an end to that speculation.
And it It probably will. When your leader says, I don't want to see a bill, hopefully no one will bring it forward. But remember, you have a lot of independent thinkers among the elected officials in this state and any state. And so if it's something that's a priority for an individual member or for their constituents or someone that they feel they represent, it's something they still might want to bring before the chamber and see whether or not they can get a positive vote on it. So we'll see whether or not the leaders can keep their members in line.
So is Governor Walker trying to portray more of a moderate image for the state of Wisconsin?
I think that's kind of in the eye of the beholder. Certainly, Senator Larson doesn't think so. He just heard a partisan mantra during the governor's speech. But I think that the governor's words, which I suspect were very carefully chosen, are reflecting what he is really trying to do and reach across the aisle and accommodate some of the interests. And so you heard him say things like, you know, reasonable changes to the mining law that meets the demands of environmental concerns and the like. So he's cognizant of the fact that there is going to be opposition and that he's going to try to at least meet people part of the way towards their needs and goals for those kinds of bills. But it's a priority of his, and at the end of the day, since he can sign bills that are passed by Republican majorities, he only needs to be just so bipartisan. And I think that's what he's trying to suggest to voters is, I'm willing to budge a little, but I still have the votes to pass the bills I need to pass.
Speaking of mining, as we hinted at, he brought out a group of miners in hard hats, and they were holding the state flag. Let's take a listen.
Together, they're holding a flag of the great state of Wisconsin. As you can see, on the right-hand side is the image of a miner. In the upper right-hand corner of the shield are the tools of a miner. And on the top of the shield, underneath our motto forward, is a badger, which comes from the nickname that was given to early settlers who were miners. If there's any state that can move forward with a way to streamline the process for safe and environmentally sound mining, shouldn't it be the Badger State?
Yeah, so what do you make? What's the significance of bringing out the flag and the miners in hard hats for that?
I think it connects his policies to people, and it shows that sort of rugged northern individualist in Wisconsin who's looking for work and is ready, with hard hat on, to actually put a shovel in the ground. All executives, whether it's the President of the United States or governors, will use props to make a point about their policies. When the miners started coming out last evening and I was watching it on the news, I didn't know what to think, to tell you the truth, because I think that while on the one hand it was a terrific photo opportunity and a great way to demonstrate what he hopes to achieve for residents up north, where the unemployment rate is upwards of 12%. At the same time, I'm sure that for partisans on the left, it was a little bit unnerving to see the governor using union members as props, and especially since, even though it seems to be a dead letter, right to work at least has been contemplated by actors in this state. So I think it was, we'll see how it plays out in the next few days and whether or not certain interest groups line up for or against based upon this particular prop. I think it was interesting and effective because it tied so cleanly in with his theme, the idea of moving forward. And so I think he's going to get some mileage out of this, and he'll be able to use it well when he does propose the bill.
And in fact, I did read that State Senator Tom Tiffany is going to be introducing the new mining bill today. So we will know more about what the new mining bill will contain, and I believe we'll talk more about that in more detail tomorrow morning, probably in our 7 o'clock hour. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Charlie Jacobs, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We are reviewing the State of the State address from last night, and we're welcoming your reactions to Governor Walker's priorities for the state and what he had to say. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Chris in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Chris. Chris, are you there? Well, I'm sorry, Chris, that you're not there. Chris was going to make mention, and I was going to bring it up too, that the governor did reference the job situation in Wisconsin by saying that there were a lot of reasons why we didn't grow as much in terms of jobs over the past year or more. Because of the recall elections, because of the fiscal cliff negotiations, because of some other reasons that he pointed to. And then he said, but we don't make excuses in Wisconsin. What did you make of that?
It's one of those difficult variables to measure, whether or not businesses were not going to pull the trigger on a move or an expansion based upon a recall election. While certainly a particular administration can give stability to policy in a state, I'm not sure how much a change, even if there had been a successful recall and Barrett had defeated the governor, whether or not it would have so drastically changed the policies that individuals who were contemplating a move, which is not, you know, an insignificant change to their business, that was really going to change it too much. I mean, certainly other states faced similar worries, issues, questions. I think about the Affordable Care Act and whether or not the United States Supreme Court would have supported it, just the presidential election and whether or not the Obama administration would be able to continue its policies, or whether Romney would take over, whether or not the Republicans win the Senate. So all states face these kinds of issues, and I'm not sure whether or not the recall was so different and so radically problematic for businesses that they changed their behavior. It may be the case, but I haven't seen any evidence or data that would support that.
Charlie Jacobs is our guest, assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about the state of Wisconsin. Professor Jacobs will stay with us, and we will also hear in our next half hour from Republican State Representative Jeff Stone, and we will hear from Democratic State Representative Jocasta Zamarripa. And we hope to hear from you, too. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you agree with Governor Walker's vision for the state of Wisconsin, and why or why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will continue our examination of Governor Walker's State of the State address that he delivered before the legislature last night and to a statewide audience on Wisconsin Public Radio and Television. And we'll take your questions and comments for our wide variety of guests throughout the morning at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up now on 6:37 on this Wednesday, January 16th. Political scientist Charlie Jacobs stays with us until 7 o'clock, and we will also hear from two state lawmakers in this half hour, starting with Republican State Representative Jeff Stone. He is from Greendale, and he is also the chair of the Assembly's Small Business Committee, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what was your reaction to Governor Walker's State of the State address last night?
Well, I think that the governor did a great job of laying out a vision for our state to move forward. Now, obviously, you know, it's been a challenging few years in our state. And really, when you look back over the last decade, we've continued to be plagued by budget deficits. And for the first time in the last 10 years, we aren't facing a deficit going into the budget process. And we've seen, you know, improvements in employment and reductions in unemployment overall. So I think we're really poised to move forward. And I think the governor did a great job of laying out a plan to keep us on that right track.
Yeah, the state's unemployment rate is down, but job growth isn't where the governor wanted it to be. Do you agree with the reasons why that he laid out last night?
Well, like you said, I don't think we're in the business of making excuses. I think that we're poised, though, with some of the initiatives. You know, obviously mining is at the top of the list. Let's, you know, if we can move forward and create an environment where companies and individuals can invest in our state, I think that we'll begin to see that job growth. Like you said, the governor isn't backing away. He's not running away from those commitments that we want to create, 250,000 new jobs in Wisconsin.
He did say that he was going to reduce taxes, income taxes, on the middle class because he thought that would help Wisconsin people create jobs. Do you agree?
Sure. You know, I've been a small business person. I know that, you know, when you open a new business or you create a new enterprise, oftentimes, you know, every dollar you're making is getting poured back into that business. And that's what creates jobs and opportunities for people in our state. And, you know, a lot of times we think of business people as being wealthy people, but a lot of times it's just the person down the street who maybe mortgaged their house and bought a business franchise or created a new business. And they're not wealthy, but they're betting everything that they can create a new opportunity for themselves and for others in our community. And so I think by being supportive of that entrepreneurial spirit, I think we can see job creation in Wisconsin.
Do you think that the tax cut is going to go to the middle class or to the wealthy?
I think it's going to go to people in the middle class. And like I say, most new jobs are created by those people that are really average people in most communities. They're not the 1% we hear so much about. It's people that live in your neighborhood and take that opportunity to invest in a new business or a new enterprise. So I think it's going to be, you know, targeted towards people who really are the people who work day to day in the private sector and in our state creating jobs.
So what do you expect to happen when it comes to mining? I understand that a new mining bill is going to be introduced today.
Yeah, I was involved on the committee last session. We had hearings in Hurley. The governor mentioned last night that Iron County, where this mine, part of where it would be located, has the second highest unemployment rate in the state of Wisconsin. This is a tremendous opportunity to take that region of our state and increase employment, create opportunities there. But it also has an impact throughout the state. You know, where I am in the Milwaukee area, we have some of the largest mining equipment manufacturers in the world. We're really the center for that equipment. Strengthening our mining industry overall can have ripple impacts on large employers in this area and also on all the smaller businesses that provide equipment and resources to those larger employers here. So I think it will have an impact across the state. And, it's not something that's going to take a long time to happen. There'll be jobs immediately in that region, and we'll see an impact on our mining equipment industry here in southeastern Wisconsin as well.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you today, Joy.
Jeff Stone, Republican State Representative from Greendale, reacting to some of the issues raised last night in Governor Walker's State of the State address. We now talk with another state representative, Jocasta Zamarripa. She is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks a lot for being back with us. So your reaction to the State of the State address last night, what stood out to you?
Well, and I'm trying to remain very optimistic. We started out the session in a very bipartisan way, so I'm hoping we can continue on this path. It was difficult for me to hear some of the things the governor mentioned last night, and to just continue to recognize that bipartisanship means not just cooperating on things like the chamber rules that we worked on last week, but to continue to focus on people's top priorities, and we'll see if they're... commitment is sincere.
Yeah. So do you agree with an effort to provide an income tax cut for the middle class that the governor said last night?
Well, you know, and it's so funny to hear the governor and the Republicans speak to wanting to be champions for the middle class. They're really appropriating this from our president, you know, from our Democratic Party. President Obama and Senator Tammy Baldwin campaigned hard and talked about fighting for the middle class, and so now I hear it on Speaker Voss's lips and on Governor Walker's lips as well. So I'm flattered that they are learning from us that it's important that we fight for this middle class, and we'll take a look at these tax cuts and see who, in fact, in their eyes, are the middle class in Wisconsin.
And you probably just heard State Representative Jeff Stone saying he's looking forward to this new mining bill that will be introduced today and says this is going to be good news for Wisconsin and jobs right away for Wisconsin. Do you go along with that?
You know, the mining bill, and we just had the Democrats on the committee, on the Jobs, Economy, and Mining Committee. We huddled yesterday, and we're going to do the same today. It's going to be a difficult issue for us. It's very hard, as you said, as Representative Stone said, Hurley has the second highest unemployment rate in the state, and so you want to get jobs over there. But from everything I hear and I'm learning about mining, you know, jobs immediately, like Jeff said, is not going to be the case. And, of course, we have to think about the impact it's going to make on the environment. So it's a very difficult balance that we want to strike. But, if they're committed and they say that they are to bipartisanship, we're hoping that we can work together to have some bill that can both create jobs and not be such a detriment to the environment.
Let me get you to react to one of Governor Walker's priorities, and that was education reform. Let's take a listen to a portion of the speech on education reform.
Now, every child should have access to great education. We continue to expand the number of choices for families in Wisconsin, be it at a traditional, a charter, a voucher, a virtual, or a homeschool environment. Moving forward, we want to continue to dramatically improve existing schools and give parents the opportunity to choose legitimate alternatives to failing schools.
So he seems to be referring to expanding school choice. Is that a good idea?
I do not support expanding school choice. Certainly voucher schools, which are known as choice schools as well, were ruled constitutional, so they're here to stay. So it's important that I work with the voucher schools that are in my district to make sure that they're educating our children. But there's still not the accountability from these voucher choice schools, and so we should not be expanding them at this point. And it's interesting, Joy, did he mention public schools at all in that statement? I don't think that he did.
In that particular one, he may not have, but he was saying that he wanted to improve education in the public schools as well.
Okay, and when I hear him say transform education, I didn't have a great feeling when I heard him say that.
Yeah. Well, anything else stand out to you in the state of the state that you'd like to talk about?
I mean, it was certainly impactful for the governor to have the workers come out with him at that point when he was talking about mining. And I'll tell you, it was. I remember talking to my colleagues afterwards and just letting them know I found that it was heartbreaking because, you know, my party, the Democrats, have fought so hard for our labor brothers and sisters, and it was pretty heartbreaking for me to see the workers. But of course, if I stood up and applauded them, it's a difficult issue that we're in right now, and I hope that the Democrats and labor continue to stand together to fight against things like the collective bargaining that the governor stripped from us last session. And moving forward, I hope we'll continue to work together and cultivate our relationship.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you,
Joy. Joe Costa Zamarripa is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. Before that, we heard from Jeff Stone, a Republican state representative from Greendale. And we'd love to hear from you, too. What did you think of the state of the state address delivered by Governor Walker last night? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you support or oppose the vision that the governor laid out? How about this new mining bill? Is that a good idea? A bill that's going to streamline the process for opening a new mine in Wisconsin. Do you agree with an income tax cut for the middle class? What about expanding the school voucher program? Do you think that would be a good idea? These are all some of the priorities that the governor brought up in the speech last night, and we'd like to know what you think. We will talk more with Charlie Jacobs, assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere, in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly cloudy. There is a chance of snow. We can expect a high temperature around 30 degrees. Continuing now our coverage of last night's State of the State address with Charlie Jacobs, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. And I'm wondering, Charlie, listening to our one Republican and one Democratic lawmaker that we just talked to, whether you think this is going to be a contentious session or not for the state legislature.
I think it might start out a little contentious, but because the Republicans have such strong majorities and the Democrats are kind of stuck as a vocal minority only, really, with very few opportunities to really upset the apple cart, I think that I don't want to say they're going to get steamrolled because that's not really what's going to happen, but I think that they're going to quickly realize that they don't have much power to affect the content of most of these proposals and that they're going to be bystanders to the reforms that are going to unfold at the behest of the governor. So, I mean, your contentiousness is probably going to get damped down to a degree because the fights aren't worth fighting. They're going to have to pick certain ones that they want to focus on that they think are most salient to the public and beat that drum for a while so that they can possibly win some support of the public for their purposes and for the next election cycle.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we've already talked about the mining bill, and that's going to happen because the Republicans have the majority. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and talk some about this income tax cut. That's going to happen because Republicans have the majority. And Democrats can't really object to that too much, really, except where the money might come from.
Where the money might come from, and the high end of the cuts, and. That's how we define middle class. And so if it starts to creep up to covering individuals who are in the top 1, 2, even 5% of income earners, I think that you're going to start to hear Democrats in particular balk about giveaways to people who have high income. So if the Republicans earnestly focus on what we consider middle class, sort of a middle quintile of individuals or lower, then I think you'll see quite a bit of consensus by both Democrats and Republicans to support that kind of measure.
Yeah, Krishna in Milwaukee wants to know, where is the extra income for this middle class tax cut coming from?
That will be interesting to see, and I think that's, you know, these State of the State and State of the Union addresses are vague for a reason. They're sort of teasers. They're the trailer for the movie, but we don't really get the whole plot until we get the budget address and the budget message from the governor, and so then we're going to start to see the specifics. And it's interesting because he seems to be leaning quite a bit on some rather expensive priorities for his agenda over the next year or two, including education, which is very, very expensive. And one thing that struck me last night was there was virtually no discussion of health care. Mm. And, of course, that's a driver of the budget. And considering he is going to allow the federal government to run the exchanges and will have little control in the state over exactly how the money gets distributed and used, it's going to be interesting to see how he handles the issue of expanding medical costs at all levels in the state. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see exactly how he's going to accommodate all his priorities, all of which are relatively expensive priorities, including his transportation proposal. So that's really, again, as I said earlier in the hour, it's the devil's in the details here.
Yeah, we don't know the details of that, but he wants to improve the infrastructure in Wisconsin because he says that's going to help create jobs and it's going to help things like the tourism industry.
Correct, and another prop by bringing out some members of the tourism industry who help at welcome centers and the like. I think what probably struck those who are proponents of rail travel was that he was making mention of some of the corridors between Madison and Milwaukee and how congested they are and how difficult it is for companies like MillerCoors to get their product to market. And of course, the governor rejected some of the funds that were available from the federal government that offered grants for high-speed rail. So we're lagging to a certain extent in the funds we need to support rail transportation that might relieve some of the congestion on the roads. And so I'm sure that some of the rail advocates were chagrined by his discussion last night after he rejected some of those federal grants.
Yeah, no details. But in the past, the governor rejected as well raising the gas tax. How do you suppose what could he look at to increase transportation funding?
Well, none of them are probably palatable for conservatives and Republicans, but because we're seeing higher efficiencies out of automobiles and trucks, which reduces the number of gallons of gasoline used, of course, we're obviously going to drop the amount of tax revenue we drive from the gas tax. So it either has to go up or we have to drive revenues from some other stream. Of course, we could go to some sort of Easy Pass or iPass system and collect tolls on some of our major highways, but again, that's perceived as a tax, a use tax, but still a tax nonetheless. So really, the only way to raise revenue is to pick somebody's pocket, and that's not something that's usually on the agenda of any Republican.
Let's go to Dennis in Springfield. Hello, Dennis. What did you think?
I thought it was an absolutely horrible State of the Union, State of Affairs. The mining bill is a horrible thing, and it just demonstrates that he's just a corporate shill for corporate interests, and he's not for the state of Wisconsin and its population.
You've got to tell us why you think the mining bill is a horrible thing.
Well, they don't tell you that they're just going to take that ore and send it to China, and they don't tell you how it's going to affect the water tables. The aquifers extend across the length of the state. When they start infiltrating those aquifers and things, that's going to flow down here eventually. And when we don't have good water to drink down here, we can blame it on the Republicans and this mining bill.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dennis. So concern about how that mine would affect our environment, Charlie.
You know, and Dennis raises an interesting point, because sometimes when we're distant from the impact of some of these policy proposals, we forget exactly how a narrow interest can actually be a very broad interest. And I know some of the Native American tribes in the northern part of the state are very concerned about the degradation of the environment. But again, sometimes we look at that as a very local, narrow self-interest. But as Dennis, you know, raises the point, it could degrade the state in a number of ways unless the bill is crafted in a way that takes significant consideration of the environment in mind. And of course, this is what the Democrats objected to in the last session. And again, the governor made an effort last night to indicate that he is cognizant of the environmental impacts and he wants to address it. Again, devil in the details.
Yeah. Stephen Mount Horeb wants to know, was the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation mentioned in the State of the State last night? I don't think it was, and he makes reference to the funds that this agency lost.
Right, and not that I heard of either. That was in absentia as well. I mean, there were a number of things that were just sort of off the table last night, and those that were even on the table were quite vague in the way in which they were discussed by the governor. So, but you can choose a couple of ways to address this. You can either give a laundry list where there's no detail whatsoever, or pick a couple of issues and try to tie in why it's so important to pass these. And I think the governor chose the latter, because there were a couple that he finds so essential to driving the economy in the state, and that's why he selected those, rather than ticking off every little thing that he needs to address in the next year or two.
Yeah, and in our final minute here, we will get more of the details when the governor delivers his state budget address, which is expected sometime in mid-February.
Yeah, and that's, I think, people are going to really pay attention to that because of the vague nature of last night's speech. And so they're really waiting to see how he's going to distribute the funds and where he's going to get some of the funds for some of these programs that he has proposed, in particular, I would say, education. And so that, I think, is really when the potential contentiousness will erupt, because people will really see the direction he expects to take the state.
Well, hopefully we'll talk to you then, if not before. Thanks very much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Charlie Jacobs, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We also heard from State Representative Jeff Stone and State Representative Jocasta Zamarripa in this past hour. Coming up, we will hear from the former Democratic Attorney General of Wisconsin, Peg Lautenschlager, and former Republican State Senator Dan Kopanky, coming up in our Big Question segment. We'll find out their take on the state of the state of Wisconsin. And we will hear from a number of other guests in our 8 o'clock hour, from policy analysts to political commentators to more lawmakers. And we hope you stay tuned, and we hope you join in with your thoughts and questions about the state of Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.